Yes? Okay, good. You can be seated. Okay, what an exciting Monday. This is totally a woman thing to do, but I was looking at the thermostat telling me how hot it was outside, and all I was thinking was, don't think about the bill at the end of the month. Don't think about the bill. So I am grateful for air conditioning, though. So. But I thought I would share with you my heart in preparing for this message. So tonight we're going to go through Jude verses 5 through 19. We're not going verse by verse, but there is so much in there that I encourage you that if you do want a verse by verse study, it is on our website. So if you go to calvarychapelflowermound.org, Pastor John has a verse by verse study in the book of Jude. This is always Kim and I's out of teaching verse by verse, which is okay, right? We're not the pastors, thankfully. Okay, but when Kim asked me to do this lesson, all I was thinking of is, Lord, what do I tell the ladies about these verses that they don't already know? Okay, this is how I view all of you, is that you all love the word so deeply. You all encourage me in your knowledge of the word so deeply. Like every time I talk to one of you and you're like, the Lord told me, the Lord showed me in his word, like my heart like bursts with joy. Like it's just like cartwheels in there, okay? It's so exciting. But that's really how I see all of you. Like as I was hearing Joya share and Noemi exhort us, right? They basically gave my whole message. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just confirmed that is what I was supposed to share about remembering. And Joya went through all her remembering of the messages she's learned. And Noemi exhorted us on the importance of remembering, right? All that God has done in our lives. And as I was asking God, right, like, what can I say that these ladies don't know? Because they're at Calvary Chapel Flower Mound, a Bible teaching church, because they love your word, right? And the Lord said, it's not anything new, but it's to remember. So tonight, we're focusing on verse 17, and it's three things. It says, you, beloved, remember. Those are our three main points tonight. You, beloved, remember. So we're not learning anything new, but we're remembering what we are already to know. Okay, so I'm going to open us in prayer. Lord, thank you that you teach us and you help us to remember, God. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we would do all things, that we would encourage and share, but also, Lord, that we would hear and receive, Lord. Without your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can do nothing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Trinity. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us and you continue to do for us. And thank you, Lord, that you alone are faithful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so so in thinking about this study, I went back, because I like review sessions, to Kim's message. It was a month ago, so I think we need a review, right? And two things that really stuck out to me was, one, that the letter in the book of Jude warns against apostates. So what is an apostate? It's actually a person who renounces or abandons their proclaimed beliefs. So something that they've proclaimed and then they've renounced. So another word, if you look at the origin of an apostate, it's just someone who's a deserter, right? They just deserted what they said they believed, okay? And Kim shared with us that the writer of the book is Jude, who actually became a believer after the resurrection of Jesus. Right? And he was the half-brother of Jesus, but he doesn't use it as his claim to fame, right? He's very humble. So those are two important things that Kim taught us that gave us context to this study. So again, there's a threefold theme, not only in what we're sharing tonight, but all in the book of Jude. So I want to tell you all the things that are in threes in the book of Jude. Okay, are you ready for this? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, the heat didn't get to you. You're all very alert, right? This is why I told the Lord. They already know. Okay, so threefold description of the believers, of the readers, beloved, kept, and called. The book of Jude has a threefold greeting, mercy, peace, and love. There are three examples of judgment, Israel in the wilderness, the angels, and then Sodom and Gomorrah. There are three examples of error, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. There is a threefold description of apostates, ungodly, turning grace into lasciviousness and denying the Lord. There are three activities of the apostates: defile the flesh, despise dominion, and blaspheme dignities. There are three figures of apostates: sunken rocks, shepherds, and clouds with no rain. Three more figures of them: trees, waves, and stars. Three persons of the Godhead: the Spirit, God, and Christ. Three classes to be considered: those who are in dispute, those in danger, and those in defilement. Three stages of time, which is before all time, now, and forever. And three spiritual exercises: building, praying, and looking. So I had to have three main points for tonight, right? There's a theme of three, right, which is also a number of completion in the Bible, in three. You, beloved, remember. So we're going to start with you, okay? The book of Jude is giving us very specific direction. It's saying you, 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 me, right? It's giving us direction, right? How many of you want God's direction? Okay, me too. So it's really important to note that there's a switch happening here. So like he's going on and on and on. Jude is going on in the verses 1 through 16, and he is just warning us: apostate, 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 apostate. And verse 17, he does a big switch. He starts talking to the believers, and he's, instead of warning, he's exhorting believers. So there's like a shift here. And Jude is telling us exactly what the will of God is, okay? I'm going to say one of the most frequently asked questions that I get in ministry or a counseling session or talking to someone with my husband is, how do I know the will of God, right? I've had this question: how do I know what the will of God is in this, okay? Well, it always starts with the Word of God, right? They say the will of God is in the Word of God, okay? So that's always our starting point, is the Word of God. Isaiah 30:21 says, "When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" And John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice," right? So we know his will, okay? But there's something called emotions that tend to cloud us. Ever experienced that? Right? You're like, I'm so foggy. I don't know what the will of God is. I know what the word's saying, but I don't know what how I'm supposed to apply it. I don't know if you ever did this, but I remember, and I've talked about this before, but I must have really liked this part of chemistry class, but I remember in 10th grade, we used to do these litmus tests. Has anyone ever done a litmus test in chemistry? It's like little sheets of paper. Jasmine's like, me. I do this too often, right? There's like a little strip of paper. They come in different colors, but one is like purple. They start purple, and then you dip it in, okay? And if it turns red, it's usually acidic. If it turns blue, it's a basic, right? And if it turns no color, it stays purple, then it's neutral, right? Not acid, not base. And that's kind of how we're to be with the Word of God. We're supposed to come in neutral, right? We're not supposed to have emotion or reaction coming into it, because then it clouds us hearing. So how do we know, right, if we're surrendered, coming into hearing the will of God in the Word of God, okay? Well, we always start with prayer. God, help us. Help me to hear your will. Okay, God is faithful. Ask for a specific word. Lord, show me in your word what I'm supposed to do. Guide me, right? And then here's the real litmus test, okay? That ask yourself, am I okay with a yes or a no? Am I okay with a this or that? Am I okay with a wait or go? Okay, so if you're okay with God's yes or no, and you can truly in your heart say, I'm okay with either, okay, then you can hear the word of God, right, and the will of God for you. And I like how my pastor in California used to say that when God tells you no, it's a double yes for protection, right? Isn't that the truth, right? He's giving us protection. So the last thing you want to know is if you're hearing the word of God for a specific thing that you're asking him for is, do you have peace? Do you have peace? Colossians 3:15 specifically tells us, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now, My main study in the when I study the Bible is the New King James Version. That's the Bible I study in. But I do like to look up different translations. Just sometimes it like hits your heart differently. And I like this translation of Colossians 3:15. It's from the Good News Translation. It says, "The peace that Christ gives you is to guide you in the decisions you make." Right? So there's a power in God's peace in our heart. So if you don't have peace, ask God for peace. And if you don't have it, it might not be his will, right? Like, wait, keep asking, ask for confirmation over and over. So the will of God, right? Jude is telling us, this is what you are supposed to do. So the second thing we're going to talk about is beloved. And the second word of word 17, beloved. And this marks a divine relationship, okay? Now, this is not Jude saying, "I love you all," right? I'm sure Jude did, but he is not marking his relationship to the believers he's talking to. He's talking about God's beloved, right? He's talking about how God loves the believers, right? Because Jude, mine, all of ours, love is very conditional, right? It fails. The only time my love is unconditional is when I die to self and ask God to work through me, right? That's the only way. So this is what Jude is saying. You are God's beloved, right? And that's unconditional. And I like that word. It's agapetos. Of course, it comes from the word agape love, but it's a specific term. And I like the definition of this specific version of agape love, agapetos. And it literally is used for an only child to whom all the love of the parent is given to. How sweet is that? God saying to me, "You're my only one, and I'm giving all my love to you." And he's saying that to all of us, right? I love how that works itself out. So God is in a divine relationship with us, right? So he's saying you, direction. Then he's telling us beloved, right? It's based on this relationship between you and God. And the third point is what we're to do. Remember, okay? Remember. And this is our course of action. This is what we're supposed to do. So what is God asking us to remember? What is God asking us to remember? The word remember here in the book of Jude is to remind, recall, be mindful of. It also comes from a combination of two words, and I like this. Okay, here's how it's being defined. So when Jude's telling us to remember, he's saying remain and chew. Depart, do not depart and consume, and wait and devour. Okay, so what is he asking us to do? Okay, he's saying, like, stay where you are and devour what you already have, right? Remember and devour God's word. That's what we're to do, right? So stay, remain, and devour the word of God. Hebrews 2:1 says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." So it's not just hearing, but doing the word of God. So this is kind of like a boat, right? If it's not anchored into something, just naturally, with the water and the waves of the sea, what happens? You drift, right? You just kind of drift away. So we have to be anchored into the Lord Jesus. So what are we specifically to remember? What is God asking us? Like if he's saying, remember the words which were spoken to us by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does he mean? Okay. And I love that the answer, first and foremost, comes in the book of Luke and Corinthians, and it's to go back to the essentials, okay? Go back to the basics. I love going back to the basics. I don't think you can preach the gospel to yourself enough, okay? No matter how long of a believer you've been, okay? When I get in the, like, thick of the day, and there's like all sorts of things going wonky at work or life and all things coming at me, like I just go back to like, okay, who am I in the Lord, right? Go back to like the very basic thing, okay? I was a sinner and God, okay, who is perfectly God, okay, became man, right, and died on the cross for my sins, shared the gospel with me over and over and over and over again. And by some miracle, he saved me, right, into that relationship. And that's who we are, right? Like that divine relationship. So we go back to the basic. And Jesus tells us exactly to do this. In Luke 22:19, it says, and he, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he asks us to take communion. And every time we take communion in church, right, we're supposed to remember what the Lord Jesus did for us, right? And this theme is repeated, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. So I also love that my pastor in California, Pastor Xavier, used to always say, don't let what you do know be confused by what you don't know, right? So just go back to what you do know. If there's something you're confused by, it's always of the devil. Confusion's always of the devil. So when I'm confused, I'm like, oh no, Satan's prowling, right? Like, I know who this is, right? Go back to the Lord. Don't talk to him. Go back to the Lord, right? And remind ourselves, right, who we are in the Lord. I like that David does this so often in the Psalms. In Psalm 42, verse 5, he just, like, preaches to himself. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul, right? Like, he's talking to himself. He's like, why are you so sad? Praise the Lord, right? And that's so important. So what are we to remember? We know we're to remember the basic principles. And then we're supposed to remember the things that God most often repeats in the Word, okay? And I was thinking on this, like, things that God repeats a lot in the Bible is probably something we really need to know, right? And I was like, wait, I think that's true. Most of you know that I'm a teacher at NCTC, and in my class, I teach speech class, the thing that I repeat the most times is the thing that I don't want any of my students to forget, okay? So the biggest grade they have in my class is obviously doing a speech, but that's the thing they like to do the least, okay? So, yes, so that's what I always repeat. So, like, even before they come to class, like, it's online. I'm like, if you miss a speech, you get 50% of your grade deducted. And that's really harsh because if I don't do 50%, guess what? They're not going to come. So I'm like, I care about you and I actually want you to learn this. So I'm going to give you 50% off if you don't show up, right? So I tell them that, like, online before they even come to class, like, send it out in an email. They come to class and I hand it to them in a syllabus. I'm like, if you don't come to speech day, you get half the points the assignment's worth because it's 20% of your grade. That's two letter grades, okay? That means if you don't do the speech, you're automatically getting a C in my class if you do everything else perfect, right? So I tell them that. Then I go over the orientation session and I tell them, you're gonna get 50% of your grade if you don't come to speech, okay? So then we're like, we're really clear. So then I spend the next 5 weeks doing mini assignments, building up to this speech. And every time we complete an assignment, how many points do you lose when you don't come to speech? And everyone's like, 50%, right? We know this, okay? This is so annoying. So then the week before speech, I tell them all, okay, next week is speech day. Our class meets on Monday and Wednesday. Half of you are going Monday. I literally call out names and ask them to raise their hand if they're going on Monday. And then I ask the other half of the class to raise your hand if you're going on Wednesday. So I keep, like, telling them and telling them and telling them. And then the Sunday night before they do their speech, they get an email from Miss Bell, okay? And the email says, if this is your name, you're speaking tomorrow. If this is your name, you're speaking Wednesday. And then another one goes out on Tuesday night, right? And guess what? I get emails the morning of, and they're like, I feel like my allergies are really bad. And I'm like, 50%, I'm not changing the power. All of a sudden, they shape up and their allergies are gone. They show up. But, okay, that's all to prove the point that, like, I tell them a lot of times. I think they think I'm crazy, and I probably am. But it's because I don't want them to forget. I don't want them to miss that because I care about their grade. I want them to do well in my class. So that's the same thing with the Lord. It's like the things he says a lot in the Bible, he's like, listen, I want you to really know this because I don't want you to forget. So what are some principles that God does not want us to forget? I'm only highlighting five because I have not that much time. Okay, so the first one is God tells us to be joyful, okay? 430 times in the Bible, God tells us to be joyful. Do you think that's important? Yes. Okay, the words joy, rejoice, or joyful is seen 430 times in the Bible. So this is cool because it's my personal promise for the year. Some of you know that in our women's ministry and just church-wide, we all pray like for a promise for the year. Like, God, give me a scripture that I can just cling to throughout the year. And mine was this. It's Matthew 2:10. It's talking about the wise men, right? It says that when they saw the star that led them to Jesus, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, right? And God's like, I want you to focus on the star of Jesus, right? And rejoice with exceedingly great joy, no matter what the circumstance, right? So joy is 430 times. Prayer, 547 times. Okay, the Bible tells us to pray 547 times. Okay, this one you might know, so I'm not going to say it. Do not fear. How many times does the Bible tell us to not fear? 365, one for each day of the year, right? Do not fear. God does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to be joyful and pray and don't fear, okay? The fourth one is praise, okay? The word praise occurs 259 times in the Bible, and worship is 188 times. That brings us for a total, I used my calculator, 476 times in the Bible. We are called to worship and praise, and gratitude. 157 times God tells us to be grateful. Okay, so how would things be different if we really thought on the things that God wants us to reinforce? Be joyful, pray, don't fear, praise, gratitude. And like I said, these are all things we already know, but we ought to remember. Okay, so we also need to remember what God has done through his word in our lives, right? Kind of like Noemi exhorted us, and kind of like Joya did by example, right? Remembering how God has taught us the word, remembering how God has answered prayers in our lives. And I like this. God's in Leviticus 23, verses 33 and 34 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord." So God told them, right, to instate a feast of the tabernacles. And what did he want them to do in this feast? It's a yearly feast where Israelite families would camp out in shelters made with branches of palm trees and boughs and leafy trees. And God asked the Israelites to relive how they lived in the time of the Jewish Exodus. So it's supposed to remind them of the hardship they had in the Exodus time, but also of God's provision, right? Like, God brought them out of this miraculous situation. Like, he took them out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. He sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness. And God's saying, like, now that you're not there anymore, I want you to go back and remember, right? In Acts chapter 7, we see Stephen do the same thing. When he's in front of the Sanhedrin, he's about to die, right? He's about to be the first martyr of the church. And he basically gives an account of everything God has done through the Jewish nation. And it's interesting, their response in Acts chapter 7, verses 54, the Sanhedrin's response is this: when they heard these things, they were cut in their heart. So it's powerful, right? In Hebrews 11, right, we have the hall of faith, and God shows us all the mighty things he's done in those who put their faith in him. In Hebrews 11, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 30 it says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say?" It goes on. "For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. And it goes on and on, the stories of all the things accomplished by faith that we are supposed to go back and look at. So I don't know about you, but I often, right, think about all those things that God has done in my life. And sometimes it's kind of hard to remember the detail, right? You're like, I know the big things, right? But the details get blurry, okay? So my encouragement to you is, if you don't already do this, I brought two of my devotions, journals that I write. So my encouragement to all of you today, if you don't already do this, is to keep a journal, okay? I never liked writing when I was a little girl, okay? I always would start on a journal, and one weekend I'd be like, this is really daunting. I don't think I can do this, okay? So I'm not a journal person. If you are, I think it's so cool. But it wasn't until I started reading God's word that I'm like, this is worthy of journaling. My feelings, not so much, right? But God's word is so amazing, and it, right? God tells us it's sharper than any two-edged sword, right? He tells us exactly what the word says, what it means, and how to apply it each in our lives. So if you've never written a journal, okay, it doesn't have to be this long exercise. It can just be like, this is something that jumped out at me today, right? Like really simple. And I went back in all the July, what's the date today? 15th, like in that range of all the things that God had done. I dare not read any of my prayers out loud because they're all over the place. But God is faithful. But just something so this one is from July 16, 2016. It's a takeaway from Jeremiah 51:17. It says, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Here, dull may be defined as weak. If we aren't seeking the knowledge of God in this perilous time, then our hearts will be weak, right? So just one thing that God showed me that day. And I would have never remembered that if I didn't write it down, right? So all these things that I was looking through, and it just really blessed me. It actually encouraged me, right? And the craziness of my day, I'm like, God, you are so faithful. All the things you've brought me through, and he's done that in all of your lives. Like my favorite, I was telling Stephanie Madrid that my favorite genre of books to read, if I ever have time to read outside of the Bible in addition to, is always like missionary biographies is my favorite, okay? Because I love learning how God is working so uniquely in each person's life. So my second encouragement, aside from journaling, to remember God's word is to memorize scripture, right? This is something that Val has encouraged us, all the leaders have encouraged us to do. This summer, I read a book called Evidence Not Seen. It's a missionary biography of Darlene Diebler-Rose. I highly recommend. During the school year, I usually don't have time to like read additional books. I just read my Bible. So in the summer, I make like a game plan, and I like go through all these books after I have my devotional time. So I liked what it said. So Darlene was actually a missionary in the South Pacific. So she was a missionary in the South Pacific in the New Guinea area during World War II. Well, when Japan attacked the United States in Pearl Harbor, she was actually taken captive as a prisoner of war for 8 years. And I wanted to just read one snippet of what she said. So this is from page 143. It says, as a child and young person, I had a driving compulsion to memorize the written word. In the cell, the prison cell, I was grateful now for those days of vacation Bible school. When I had memorized many single verses, complete chapters, and psalm, as well as whole books of the Bibles in the years that followed, I reviewed the scriptures often. The Lord fed me with the living bread that had been stored against the day when fresh supply was cut off by the loss of my Bible. He brought daily comfort and encouragement, yes, and joy to my heart through the knowledge of the word. And I love that, right? She had it hidden in her heart. And it says, just 2 weeks before she was brought into the prison, the Lord had laid it on my heart to memorize a poem by Annie Johnson Flint. Now I knew why. After drying the tears from my face and mopping the tears from the floor with my skirt, I would sit up and sing. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trial, his multiplied peace. Right? It was so sweet and so important, right? To go back and remember the word of God. So this is very true, right? If we look through the Bible by example. If you read through the book of Lamentations written by Jeremiah, right? You can read chapter 1, 2, and a big chunk of chapter 3 where he is really sad, okay? He is rightfully grieving for the nation of Israel and what's going on and them being taken captive. And everything changes for Jeremiah in verse 21 of Lamentations. And this is what he says. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Right? When we recall the word of God, we have hope in perilous times. I like the Thomas Nelson commentary on this said, Jeremiah's remembrance of God's faithfulness brought a change in the prophet's emotions. As long as we contemplate our troubles, the more convinced we will become of our isolation, our hopelessness, our inability to extricate ourselves from the present trouble. But it's the shift, right? He places it back on remembering the goodness of God that changes everything. And again, we see this with David in Psalm 73, when he's just so sad about the wicked prospering. It says, right, in verse 16, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. So as we come into the sanctuary of God, as we hear the word of God, remind ourselves of the hope we have in Jesus, as we fellowship with the saints, right, God restores and renews our strength, right? So I had some personal examples of being ready, right, to remember. So I asked a few of our lovely WOW leaders, okay, and Pastor John, what are some things they wish they remember more readily or more often in a trial, okay? I'm going to go in order of response, okay? First was Kim. Thank you, Kim. And I love this one because I related to it. She said two scriptures. The first one, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What if just in interpersonal conflict, in relational conflict, we remembered that there is spiritual warfare, okay? If that was your first go-to, right? It's not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers. What do you know to do, right? I can't win that battle physically or by saying something. I win that battle in prayer. It would drive me to prayer, right? And she also said, Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I love that, right? The victory is already ours. Pastor John said, James 1:2-4, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing, okay? When I asked Val what did she wish she remembered more in a trial, I liked that she said, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, preferably using a scripture. And then she had a sunflower emoji for me that I really liked. Jill said she wished she more readily remembered James 1:5. And she said, the scripture says, if any of you lacks wisdom in the trial, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And she said, I hope it's okay that I share this, Jill. Where's Jill? Oh, is it? Can I share your comment? Okay, sorry. I should have asked. Sometimes I jump into wife or mom mode. This is so relatable. Assuming that if this has happened before, I know what to do instead of seeking the Lord as to how he would want me proceed, right? So that's so relatable, right? I'm like, oh, I've already done this. I know what to do, right? We just go in the same thing and do the same thing. But like that was really good wisdom from her, right? And sometimes God may want us to do something different, so we should ask. Okay, and then I ask God what he wants me to remember more often in a trial, and my two was seek first the kingdom of God and Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Okay, those are my two. Okay, so what if in every trial, I'm going to sum up what our friend said, we knew that there was spiritual warfare, that the victory is already ours, that we can count it joy when we are in a trial, that we get to pray without ceasing, that we ask for him for wisdom, we seek him first and not be anxious for anything. That would make a huge difference, right? Right. Okay. So I'm going to bring this all to a close, okay, with Peter, okay, in 2 Peter. When Peter approaches his death, he says this in 2 Peter 1:12. He says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." That's what I told God, right? Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So we remind ourselves until the day we go home with the Lord, right, what his word says. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we go from glory to glory, right, as God prepares us for eternity. Okay, when we're taking that step from here to eternity, that last step should barely be any difference because we are so sanctified in remembering his word. Okay, let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you remind us of your truth, Lord, that it is precious, that we don't need new truth, but we need your truth, Lord, that is fresh and new. It reminds us and it just tells us what we should do in each situation and in these times that are so difficult and so depraved. And it just seems like the enemy has doubled down on pursuing believers and everything feels so hard. But Lord, you, Lord, tell us and bid us to come to you, right? For our yoke is easy, right? For your yoke is easy when we're with you, God. So thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in our hearts, Lord. As we fellowship together, I pray the women would be blessed and just be filled with your encouragement, God, in this discouraging world. Thank you for your house. Thank you for the sanctuary. And thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Hello. Oh, there I am. Oh, that was a lot. Man, I was like this. Whoa. Okay. Because we want God's direction. We want God's will. We want to start with the word of God. We want to come to his word with prayer and a surrendered heart. I liked how Tamar reminded us, be okay with yes, no, wait, or go. Do you have peace? Because peace guides. Beloved, we are God's beloved, like an only child getting all of the parents' love. So we remember, we remain and chew. We stay and devour God's word. We go back to the basics because once I was lost and now I am saved. Go back to the principles and repeat often. So we be joyful. We pray. Don't fear. Praise and worship and be grateful. Remember what God has done. I love this part about remembering what God has done for us because this kind of ties into what Joya was sharing. Because when you share what God has done for you in your own personal life, it's really, really hard for somebody to say, yeah, no. No, you can't discount what, you know, you can't discount what the Egyptians went through. You just can't. I mean, it happened. So that was their story. But now you have a story. So, Tamar brought up about, okay, think on those things that God has done for you. Throw away the complaining. I love that she talked about journalizing, memorizing scripture. Memorizing scripture might feel hard or tedious, but it will make the word. If you feel like the word is getting a little blah, like I've read this so much, I've gone through the one-year Bible 15 times, try memorizing just something. It will come alive to you like never before. And I think it's wonderful to look at other versions. You can try the ESV to shake it up. I get really nervous because I really feel so, I want to stay with my New King James so bad. But it does. It is helpful to look at another version and see how that might open up that verse for you and then memorize it in that version. So she talked about outlining. Oh, no, this is me. I put this. Outline a book of the Bible if you want. Because you know what? We need to apply this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So I'm currently in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm really trying to make an effort to outline each chapter. And it's not a big deal. You can do two or three verses and kick the main point, and then you go three or four verses, main point. And you just do this so you can help you remember it and then repeat it back. Say what you wrote, remember it, repeat it. And now my WOW leaders know that I've been starting to rhyme a little bit. So sometimes I like to rhyme because it helps me remember. If it's going to help, you know, you want that thing. And so I'm stuck in 1 Thessalonians because I love this one part in I think it's chapter 1, where it said they sounded forth. So we want to sound forth, and that goes along with what Joy has shared too. We want to sound forth. Don't you just love that? That's just fun to me. So we are going to remember that there is spiritual warfare, that the victory is ours. Pray without ceasing. Ask God in faith and wisdom. Seek him first. And this is what we do when we want to proceed in life, specifically like when you're facing something that's a trial. So I was wondering, is it okay if I just get a spoon, a jar of peanut butter, and any chocolate I can find before I go to the Word or start praying? I don't know, but I think that might be okay sometimes. Sometimes you just need the thing. I don't know. Sometimes I just need the bag of chips to do like this. Okay, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And when they're halfway gone, oh, wait, I'm supposed to get in the Word. So Sarah's got us covered. She has all this lovely food, and if I'm not mistaken, we go to Sarah if we want to sign up for the retreat, and so you can have yummy food and fellowship, and are we set? Is that it? Okay, you're set to go. Have